Now let's move on to sport, because you have stepped aside from the Kilkenny team after many years of incredible service. Two doctors from the practice here, Joanne Cuddy and Frank Chambers, have taken over the reins. You have some incredible memories of that time.
Yeah, I was, Nicky, I was very lucky. My first year was 2002, so I think when I sum it up, I think there were 18 All-Ireland final days. There was two draws, so 16 years I was involved with a team that got to the All-Ireland hurling final. They were great, great memories, great times. As a family, we really enjoyed it. I was privileged that my own kids got to come into training with me and on several occasions and see some of their heroes playing hurling. The Kilkenny hurler, from start to finish, club and county, are very humble people. So even though they were winning and winning well, and there was no massive egos involved with the team, all very humble and a pleasure to look after.
I imagine that was very much down to Brian Cody and his own personality and what he expected of his players. Yes, he demanded of his players, but that demand was delivering success, and that's why they were so much able to give and be humble about what they were doing.
Yeah, Brian set extremely high standards across the whole team, but it was nothing that he wasn't doing himself. He had huge standards for himself, and he always viewed himself as the manager to create the standards. I suppose people always think of Brian in terms of standards, but he was also a very good person to deal with on a human level. So if there were issues, if there were times I couldn't make it to training, there was no problem phoning Brian saying I can't make it tonight. He was very understanding of the demands of my day job.
Do you have a highlight or two from all the years involved? Anything else stick out in your mind in particular?
I suppose the first year I was involved, I remember being on the sideline of the All-Ireland, pinching myself that I was on the side of a pitch. 2006 beating Cork was a special time, but I think probably after all the years, I really enjoyed going to training for me, watching, being privileged enough to watch really good matches on the sideline were probably the ones that I enjoyed the most.
It's interesting you mentioned 2006, because there's a story there about the length of the grass, and I was accused of not getting Croke Park to cut the grass, but leave that aside. I felt that was a turning point in the whole Brian Cody and his team era, because Cork were going for three in a row, and I think by Kilkenny winning that All-Ireland, I think that set them up for what happened subsequently.
Well, the Cork were favourites coming into it, no doubt about that. Kilkenny had gone for a three in a row and had been beaten in 2004 by Cork. And I suppose this was turning the table somewhat. It was also a young Kilkenny team, and they just played with abandon on the pitch. And it was just a fantastic match to win.
Now, in terms of from 2002 up to the present day, the whole way of treatment of injuries of players, or even the type of injuries, we've seen a lot more probably knee injuries and cruciate injuries and various other concussion has entered the scene. That has changed a lot and posed challenges to yourself and people from your profession involved with inter-county teams.
Yeah, I suppose I don't view it as a challenge. These all created great opportunities to learn. So you mentioned concussion there. Obviously teams have got bigger, the hits have got more. Concussion now is something that we're looking at more and more and more, you know, and it goes back to looking after our younger cohort. I think what sometimes appears on the national fora and the national games, you bring it back to club and looking at, right, how are we going to treat concussion a little bit better. So I always view these new issues that would pop up as an opportunity for us to not only look at the senior games, but actually to bring it back to club. And I think patient care or player welfare is far better now than it would have been 20 years ago, because it allows you to look at the conditions and say, right, is this affecting our young people playing games?
I think the fact that, and you've been very much involved in this, the whole partnership with the likes of UPMC has brought a lot more expertise onto the table here to support people who are in that space with concussion injuries.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the UPMC input into concussion has been fantastic. I've been privileged to do a couple of courses online with the American physicians, and I've met them, and their ability to look at concussion and to get us to look at it in a different way, and to, as opposed to being, what I would say, being passively treating concussion, saying it'll be fine, it'll settle down, to go at something actively. Players, young and old, love to be able to do things actively to help with their recovery from injuries. And I think that's probably the biggest single difference that has happened with concussion.
Do you worry that the whole training regimes now, with so much involved in S&C, building up the physical upper body strength, that has brought a lot more physicality to our own games? And I'm not even mentioning, say, soccer or rugby, I should say, soccer for that matter as well, but rugby in particular, where it's all about the physical strength of players. Would you have any concern that hurling is going too much that way, maybe, and maybe to the detriment perhaps of the skill a little?
I suppose I would be concerned in terms of the fun, if the fun element of is going out in the game. And again, the intercounty is very specialised. It's about 2% of the people who play the game. I think you have to look at young people playing the games, and are we holding on to young people playing the games and graduating to senior level? Are they enjoying it? And I think that has to be a marker at all times. And that would be my fear, that to be a senior hurler now is such a commitment in terms of gym, in terms of being at a certain level, not only in terms of skill, the skill was always there, but now you have to commit 100% to your lifestyle, has to be geared around committing to the thing nearly six days a week now at this stage. And I suppose, and that's fine at an elite level. I suppose if that started filtering down to a club level, minor, under 16, I would be concerned that, you know, this is ultimately fun at the end of the day, and people go off into their careers and their jobs and they're part of the GAA family. You'd hate to think that it would stop people playing our national game because of the commitment involved.
Okay, we've just two issues to address before we go. The whole advent of women's sports has grown enormously now. The whole integration process with the GAA has been mapped out, although I think there's lots of challenges there before it can happen. In terms of the whole medical needs of women's sports, is that going to be much different than from the men? Because maybe we haven't heard as much about it. Yes, they get injured as well, but what challenges might that bring specifically for county boards in an integrated scenario?
Well, just to get back, first of all, this is fantastic, and it opens up whole new vistas in terms of the medicine side of things, but also in terms of it's great to have equality, and you can never put off equality. Yes, there will be issues that will arise, but I think it's a really good news story. The GAA, Camogie, ladies football should plough ahead. We can sort some of the problems that are going along rather than waiting to have everything sorted before you go ahead with it. In terms of the medicine, yeah, the injuries and the treatment regimes will need to be slightly different. You know, one thing that pops up straight away is the cruciate injury, more common in females. So in terms of the effort that will be required to bring you to an elite level, that's something that they are going to have to look at. How are we going to protect female players and their knee injuries?
Now, finally, when we all our involvement in the GAA kind of at intercounty level is over, we head back to our clubs. And you were on a journey with O'Loughlin Gaels this year that took you as far as Croke Park. Didn't quite work out the way you had hoped, but O'Loughlin Gaels is your club now. And I suppose you were there with that on the sideline, of course, as their medical professional there on the job. But nevertheless, that must have been something special to be so close to people that you live among.
Ash, look, it's all about club. I grew up in Kerry, and it was Asa Stacks was my football club. When I moved to Kilkenny, I live in the O'Loughlin Gaels area, and they adopted me, and I was very lucky to be involved with them since 2002. They've been very welcoming to me, but also my family are committed. All my kids play for O'Loughlin's, and O'Loughlin's is our club. So this year was an amazing journey to be on. We did very well. As a friend of mine rang me afterwards, he wasn't going to commiserate with me because his club have never got to an All-Ireland Club Day. So it was a privilege to be involved. Only one team wins. We'd love to have been the team that would have won, but unfortunately we didn't. Due to an amazing score at the end of the match, you have to give credit where credit is due. But we'd love to have won, but we didn't. But the club is everything at the end of the day.
And finally, Tadhg, have you set yourself any further targets now in the next number of years?
I don't really set targets, Nicky. Sometimes things just happen. I'm just taking the job with the IMO seriously at the moment, and that's a 3-year stint. And after that, I'm sure my wife at home will have plenty of jobs lined up for me.
Well, I'm no doubt Kilkenny County Board duly acknowledge your work over the years, but I will do so publicly now on the airwaves to thank you for all you've done for Kilkenny sport since 2002, and you're still very much there with O'Loughlin Gaels. So above all, good health, may everything go well in the practice here, and may you have many happy days with O'Loughlin Gaels, with yourself and your family and your children especially in the future. And who knows, some of the Crowleys might be gracing Croke Park someday, and you'll be very much in the stand roaring them on.
they might have to skip a generation or two. I'm not sure what their parental influence have much effect on that, but they love playing the game with Will Auckland.
Well, good health to you, Ty.
Thanks, Nicky.